Episode 1062, My Strength is My Story with Dorcas Chang Tozen. Start, love, repeat.
Moms, needing a little inspiration and a ray of hope? You've come to the right place. This is the show that you can turn to for just the pick-me-up you need. This is Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. Here's your host, certified life coach, personal trainer, and nutritionist, Christiane Wargo. Staring
at a stop sign, happy, happy day. Today is my favorite day of the week. Oh, yes, it is my Strength is My Story series. And we have on with us an extraordinary woman. Her name is Dorcas Chang Tozen. I'm telling you right now, you are going to fall in love with this woman. She's like your best friend next door. But she's brilliant on top of that. She's a mom, a brand new mom with a 2.5-month-old. I mean, crazy awesome. It's just an incredible story. You're going to want to stay tuned because we have a lot of fun. For those of you who are brand new to Create Your Now, family and friends of Dorcas, welcome. I'm so delighted of your presence. If you already haven't had the opportunity, you'll want to head on over to createyournow.com where you can learn more and sign up for the Kisses newsletter, the Keep It Simple Strategy Everyday Solutions to Live Love and Impact. And oh boy, does Dorcas live and love and impact. She is living out that model, her and her husband, Ned. They have two beautiful children. Our conversation was so genuine. Her heart is full of love. And you can just tell she's coming from a different place in this world. And I just love it. I love what her book says, Start, Love, Repeat. I love what she has to say. I love what she is living out. And I love the impact that she is having on people across the world. And so today, open up your mind, connect it with your heart, and be ready to be blessed. Without further ado, let's welcome in Dorcas Chang Tozen. Start, love, repeat. Hello and welcome to Create Your Now. I am so excited to have you here. It is My Strength is My Story, and oh my goodness, you are in for a real treat. We have a leader, an entrepreneur, a mom. We just got it all today, and I cannot wait for you to meet her. Her name is Dorcas Chang Tozen. She is an award-winning writer, editor, speaker, and now you can add author to that. She contributes as a columnist for Inc.com, along with other publications like Christianity Today, The Well, and Asian American Women on Leadership, plus The Wall Street Journal, Blogger, The Entrepreneurial Leader, and so many more. Dorcas is a wife of 12 years to her fabulous husband and very creative man, Ned, and a mother to two adorable sons. This Silicon Valley native has lived in mainland China, Hong Kong, and Kenya, all because of the entrepreneurial ventures. Dorcas has written her first book, Start, Love, Repeat, How to Stay in Love with Your Entrepreneur in a Crazy Startup World. Well, Dorcas, I got to tell you, isn't every day a startup and isn't every day crazy? Welcome, my friend and sister in Christ.
Thank you so much for having me. And yes, every day is an adventure.
Well, it kind of has to be, I think. You know, when you're an entrepreneur, a spouse of one, you've kind of been on both sides of the coin. I think it is a crazy day, but crazy can be good.
Yes, there is never a dull moment in our family, and I will always be braced for the unexpected with my husband and with our kids, and it keeps things very, very interesting.
Oh, I love that. Well, before we dive into your story, let's start where you are right now. What keeps you busy, productive, hopping, and just all out happy?
Well, the book just came out a few weeks ago, so that is keeping me really busy. So just trying to get the word out about the book, getting people excited about it, letting folks know that this resource is now available for them, because there really isn't much out there for the spouses of entrepreneurs. And so that was one reason why I really wanted to write this book. And then I actually also have a 2.5-month-old baby. So I basically birthed two babies this fall, and it has been extraordinarily busy and exhausting and really wonderful all at the same time.
So what's your secret in dark circles?
I don't know. I'm still trying to figure that out.
That's why I guess you just kind of take a breather, right? To take it all in.
Just one day at a time. That is pretty much all I can do. And to just really try to appreciate what I have. Both the book and the baby were gifts that I had been hoping for a really long time, and it took years for both to come to fruition. And so I'm just really grateful to have the opportunity to be where I am.
Oh, well, congratulations on the new blessing in your family. How exciting that is, and yeah, stressful too, I can imagine. I remember those days.
Yes, yes. You don't forget them easily.
No, you don't. Those are the nice, painful thoughts that you remember, but then as time moves on, you think of them as more blessings and magic, because you're like, how did that even happen?
Yes, and it is so much easier the second time around. I remember having so much anxiety with our first child, and so this time I'm enjoying it a lot more and appreciating the beauty of a little adorable baby.
Oh, I love that. And it'll be the first Christmas and you get to snuggle. Oh, those are the best. Okay, we could just chat about that all day. Forget about the book. We'll talk about the book. Right. It's important. The link's in the show notes, guys. But okay, we're going to talk babies. No, I'm joking.
Yeah.
We got to talk about your other baby, which is, of course, Start, Love, Repeat. In your book, though, you had a little bit of inspiration in my reading it. And I was fascinated because it was your husband, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he really is the reason why this book even exists. He has taken me on a roller coaster ride for the last 12 years of our marriage. We've actually been together for 19 years. So it started when we were really young in college. And he just always had this really restless spirit, could not figure out what he wanted to do with himself. And for the longest time, I thought that was a really bad thing. I was worried that he was going to be a deadbeat, that he was going to be totally unfocused, would not be able to hold down a job. And it just turns out that he had that innate entrepreneurial bug that he could never shake. And so he just always wanted to do something new and exciting and something that was his own. And that's something I've really appreciated, but it has also required a lot of sacrifice on both of our parts.
And that really, some would say, well, you had red flags, didn't you? Because, I mean, in college, he didn't just pick one major.
No, he was all over the place. I mean, pretty much every quarter he was changing his major. It was music, one quarter it was biology, and then it was engineering, and then and that drove me crazy because I went into college, as you could probably guess, I'm a much more stable kind of person. So I went to college knowing what I wanted to study and just stuck with that and did it and finished my degree. But yeah, he could not decide. And yet at the same time, there was something really appealing about that too. You know, I think when you are a by the book person, which I am, to meet somebody who is such a free spirit and who was so wanting to pursue his passion and to find his joy in life, that was really inspiring to me and really infectious too.
What a beautiful story. And yet you're still married, so something's worked out for the two of you.
Yes. Well, I think because we are so different, it actually, there's something kind of magical that happens in marriage, I think, you know, where you challenge each other and you occasionally drive each other crazy, and yet you mature and you grow and you learn so much about yourselves and about the world because your partner is so different and they're constantly pushing you to think in different ways and to try new things and to do things and be in different ways that you wouldn't have thought to do on your own. And so I'm really grateful to my husband for that because I don't think I would have had the courage to be a writer, which is its own kind of entrepreneurial job and it's very unpredictable and uncertain and definitely, you know, no one does it for the money. But he has been 100% behind me. And because of his support and his belief in me, I've been able to do something that was initially really scary for me.
Well, you've done a lot of things that are scary, and I would say probably a little bit crazy, too. If I can remember correctly, you took a few risks very early on in your marriage, meaning that kind of still that honeymoon, not that first year, but very early on, and you did something drastic. You moved to China.
Yes. So the company had been around for about a year at that point. My husband had just graduated from business school, decided to pursue this company full time. And they make solar powered products for families without electricity in developing countries. And so the vast majority of what they were doing was overseas. Obviously, that's not a real big need here in the U.S. And so it got to the point where it just seemed like for them to effectively pursue this company, they had to move overseas. And there were five of them that had started the company together. And of the five, only three were able to move overseas. And the only one other co-founder who was married decided that he couldn't make that change because of his family. But Ned sat me down. He had, you know, this whole pitch to me of why it would be really great for us to move overseas to China together, what we'd be able to do together, why it would be an incredible experience. And so he convinced me. I had an interest in international development myself, so that really helped. And but yeah, we moved to an industrial city in China called Shenzhen, which most people have never heard of, but it's a place where the vast majority of computers and tablets and iPhones are made. And so that's where it made sense for us to go, because that was where the products were being manufactured. But we went, you know, knowing almost nothing about the city, having very little preparation of what it would be like. I didn't even have a chance to visit before we just up and moved. So yeah, it was risky, and looking back now, a little bit naive to just kind of jump in without any sort of preparation.
Wow. Well, at least you had youth on your side. You may not have had things, but you were youthful.
Yes, yes. So I think we were 29 when we moved, and we were very idealistic. And honestly, you know, financially, which I know a lot of entrepreneurs have to take a lot of financial risks. We weren't taking that many financial risks in terms of, like, we had nothing to lose. We didn't have a house. We didn't have savings. You know, we were both early on in our careers. And so, you know, the worst cases, we'd come home and be back where we had started.
What would you say was the most appealing thing about going to China for you?
You know, I think one of the most appealing things was just the chance to do it together with my husband. So he had been in business school the first 2 years that we were married, and we barely saw each other because he was a full-time student. He was involved in a ton of activities, and he was trying to start this business all at the same time. And so there would be weeks sometimes that we wouldn't even be able to have a single meal together. And I was also working full time, working a pretty demanding job at my church that had a lot of evening and weekend hours. And that really took a toll on our relationship. And so I think, you know, we had wondered, would it be possible for him to just travel a lot to China and have us not move? But, you know, we thought about it, and we wanted to be together, at least, you know, spending more than half of the time in the same place. And because that was really important to us, then we decided, okay, if we're going to do this, we have to do it together and be in it together. And when we got there, I ended up joining the company, and we got to work together as well, which actually ended up being a really good experience for us. I think for some couples, it's really hard. Some couples, it's great. For us, it was good, but it was extraordinarily stressful to be involved in the company in that early startup phase where, you know, every day was up and down and you did not know if the business was going to survive or not.
And when you start up a business, and you write it so well in your book, Dorcas, I want to encourage those of you who are thinking, gosh, I'm on the fence of starting a business, or I'm kind of in network marketing, and so it's not really my own business. Well, actually it is, because you're working for yourself. The product may be given to you, but it's still, you have to do the work. And I would really want to encourage people to pick up their own copy of Start, Love, Repeat. For the whole thing, where what I found fascinating in reading it, you broke it down, if I remember correctly, in five sections, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a conclusion at the end. Okay. I was trying to think. I try to remember all this stuff. And so in that, though, you break it up as into kind of how you would be walking through it as a beginning entrepreneur. And you share stories, not just your own, but from other entrepreneurs and from other therapists and psychologists and psychiatrists. And you just meld this all together along with great statistics. And it's this book of, like, knowledge that doesn't exist. For someone who's going, I want to do this, but I really don't know what it looks like. And I think it doesn't matter what side of the coin you're on, you can benefit from this. Even if you're not an entrepreneur, there are many jobs and careers out there that you're kind of acting like an entrepreneur. You may not, you know, be working for your own paycheck. You get it from someone else. but it's the schedule of an entrepreneur. You're always on call. The demands are so there, like you would as an entrepreneur. So I would really encourage people to pick up their own copy of Start, Love, Repeat.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I think that there are so many jobs now that require people to work really long hours, to travel a lot. And so any couple that struggles with balancing work and family, I think the book is for them. I did specifically, you know, have entrepreneurs and their spouses in mind when I wrote it. But I think the lessons in it are much broader than that. And so I hope that couples will find it useful regardless of where they are. But yeah, I really wanted to apply the thinking that we put into our careers. I feel like we are often so thoughtful about the work we want to do, where we want to work, how we're going to build our career over time. And entrepreneurs, you know, have to come up with their business plan, and they have to come up with a pitch deck, and they do all of this work before they've even, you know, really launched it. And I think we don't necessarily apply that same level of thoughtfulness and intentionality when we're thinking about, and what does this mean for my personal life? What does this mean for the people who are closest to me? So that's what really I'm trying to encourage in the book is, you know, let's really think about that. And, you know, it may still totally make sense for you to do your own business or to stay in your own career, but just be aware of what the potential costs and benefits will be for yourself and for your family on a personal level.
And it does begin that dialogue, that conversation where in there you even have a section on communication. I mean, oh my goodness, my list and notes go on and on. You talk about communication, setting boundaries, regrets, staying intimate, getting involved or not getting involved, you know, establishing goals and deadlines. I mean, that's just a little snapshot of what's in the book. And I think it all does come down to being on the same path, as in how you communicate with each other, because I know from a few of your stories that you told in here, Dorcas, that you shared where you would both be saying the same thing, but just differently.
Yeah. And I think that that's one of the really interesting things about being with an entrepreneur is that, you know, they are so passionate about what they're doing that you kind of can't help but get caught up in it. And it's such an all-consuming sort of work and vocation that, again, like the whole family gets caught up in it. But yeah, that communication piece is so essential because you're coming from very different perspectives, especially if one is an entrepreneur and the other partner is not. Your day-to-day experience, your daily priorities may feel completely different and be pulling the family in opposite directions. And that's really, really challenging. But I think what I would encourage couples to do is to really sit down and have those bigger picture conversations of what are our agreements, what are our priorities, what are our goals in the short term, medium term, and long term as a family. And hopefully, as you have those conversations, you can find a lot more common ground than the day-to-day experience might lead you to believe that you have.
Well given advice, and I think you all need to take her up on that because, you know, marriage, regardless of whether we're looking at it as an entrepreneur, a career, or living just as a couple, communication is needed across the board. And we kind of forget to communicate. We say I do, and we just throw it out the door thinking that everything's going to be, you know, Cinderella happiness, and we're going to, you know, be swept off our feet and all will be done. And then life really happens to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's so many levels of communication as well that I think it's important for couples to commit to. One of the really interesting studies I found in my research was that couples that communicate well about even the little logistics in life, like if you can figure out who is doing the chores and have agreement on that, that actually is a really good indicator for your ability as a couple to figure out the bigger things in life. So it actually is very meaningful to sit down and figure out, okay, who's doing the dishes, who's cooking, you know, who's picking up the kids, because that's all practice in, you know, how do we work these things out? How do we compromise? How do we hear one another well? And then that sets you up really well to have those harder and bigger conversations around, you know, where are we going to live in 6 months? Or what is our household budget going to look like? Or, you know, how much longer are you going to be doing this business before we decide that maybe it's time to call it quits? Those are much, much harder conversations. But if you practice having the little conversations first, it'll set you up really well.
I love that. So start your little conversations, everyone, after you pick up your own copy of Start, Love, Repeat, How to Stay in Love with Your Entrepreneur in a Crazy Startup World. Well, life is crazy. It's the holidays. I got to tell you, pick up a couple of these copies and give them as stocking stuffers. I mean, you could give them as an actual gift. Maybe you have a girlfriend that's thinking about, you know, starting her own business. What a great gift to give and for someone to really start their new year. So I would encourage you all to do that. Pick up a couple copies so you can be a little Santa's helper and be an elf. Okay, now with all of that, we've got communication. We've talked a little bit about finances. But the one thing that all of that stuff leads to ultimately that we carry around with is stress.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like this big ball. And I can remember when I was way little, which I wish I was sometimes little now. I just have gotten, I don't know, bigger, but maybe not necessarily, I don't know. Anyway, that's for another episode, Dorcas. But right. Remember how they would do those rubber bands balls? And mm-hmm. I can remember in school, they'd have them, it'd start out, you know, just real, real small. And then you would add one and add one. And they would get really, really, really big. I kind of feel like our stress grows like that. And it gets so big that at some point, you try to stretch that one rubber band all the way across that big, huge ball. And then it all just implodes on itself.
Yeah, stress is an inevitable part of the startup journey. Every entrepreneur I know is extraordinarily stressed. And a lot of them have a very high tolerance for stress. A lot of them are very optimistic people, which helps you in handling stress. But it gets to a degree where, you know, even the most optimistic person is going to have trouble with that. And so I think that that's actually one of the ways in which it is really, really helpful to have a good partner by your side. Because I know for my husband, he has trouble recognizing when he's about to fall off the edge of the cliff in terms of stress. Because he's just going, 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 constantly working. His head is full of everything he needs to do. And he's not paying attention to how he's actually feeling and how his body is doing. And so I see those signs. I see when he is not looking good. And I can call him out on that and say, hey, you've been working too hard. You need to take a break. And that's good for him. And it's actually really good for the business as well, because it's not good for his company if he ends up totally burning out, which he has been on the verge of several times. And I actually have burned out many times. So I know how painful it is and how debilitating it can be. And so it really is about, you know, holding one another accountable and caring for one another in that way, so that you can operate in a more sustainable way, so that that rubber band doesn't snap, hopefully, and you can keep going.
So for that man or woman who has an entrepreneur or just has this business-minded workaholic in their life that they know is on the edge of the cliff, like you said, what would you advice or what would you tell them, a strategy to help get them off the cliff but support them at the same time? Because I know sometimes what we say isn't always what's heard in the way we want it to be heard. It's interpreted differently.
Yes, it can be a very hard conversation to have. I know that sometimes when I've tried to do that with Ned, I have come across just sounding like a nag. And so that is not ideal. At the same time, there is a little bit of the nag that's necessary, I think, because entrepreneurs can be so single-minded that they need to hear it multiple times before it really gets through. You know, if you just say once, like, hey, maybe you should take a break, that's not necessarily going to work. And because it's about wanting to establish a healthier pattern in their life, right? It's not just about a one time, let's stop and rest, but how do we do this on a daily, weekly basis so that your brain and your body and your spirit find restoration so that you can go again the next day? And so how you communicate that is a critical piece. And I think so much of it is about balance of, you know, I care about you, like letting your spouse know that you are coming from a place of love and that, you know, I care about you and I see what this is doing to you and it worries me. And so, you know, can we talk about how to do this differently? Or is there a way that you could just pause? Are there a couple hours that you can take off? Can you commit to not working this weekend? And I think that if you can speak in a way where they know that you're coming from a place of love, where you can offer very specific solutions, that you invite them to be part of the solution, that you're not just imposing your ideas on them, then that creates space for a much more productive conversation.
Excellent. I love it, because in fact, you share a few stories, but I remember one in there where you were talking about you would actually have to kind of get Ned to come out of the home to go to events with you.
Yes. Yes. For a number of years, he would turn down almost every social invitation we got, you know, so he wasn't showing up at birthday parties or even weddings. And I remember I had some friends who almost didn't even believe that he really existed because they had never seen him. And so that was a real wake up call for me of, you know, this is a little bit of a problem that I don't want to operate like I am a single person when I am in fact married. And what was helpful also was that I think Ned came to a realization of recognizing that he needed these friendships. He needed community. He needed to be plugged into our church to really ground him, because otherwise he would just become this one-dimensional person of, you know, all he would think about 24/7 is the business. And that's not healthy for anybody. And so he recognized the value of having other people in his life besides me, because I really couldn't do everything for him. And so that was one of those cases where I did nag him a little bit about it, and then he, you know, really came to understand how important it was as well. And so over time, we've been able to make adjustments to that, such that we do respond to social invitations now.
So like the birth of your child, your beautiful new one that's 2.5 months old, he was there for the delivery,
yes,
right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Just check it. We got to make sure that was on the checkoff list.
Yes.
Well, I want you to share a little bit about what Ned does, because I actually found it very heartwarming. And I think it's just a very inspirational story. So tell us a little bit about D-Light.
Yeah, it came out of a program at Stanford called the Design for Extreme Affordability. And the idea is, you know, how do you take the best product design principles that we have and apply it to the poorest families in the world? Because the vast majority of products that are being developed these days are for people like us who can afford to get pretty much whatever we would want to get. And, you know, in reality, the world needs a lot more than just the next iteration of the iPhone, even though I do like the iPhone. And so Ned got together with a number of classmates, some engineering graduate students, as well as a fellow business school classmate, and they decided to tackle the problem of energy, because there are still 1.3 billion people in the world who don't have access to any electricity, and then there's another billion that only have electricity intermittently, like maybe just a few hours a day. And so there's a huge need, because without electricity, that actually affects a ton of things mm-hmm. in people's lives. It affects their ability to communicate if they don't have access to phones, they're not plugged into what's going on in the world, if they don't have access to radios and television. And one of the most critical needs is actually for light, because when there is no light, then families are forced to burn kerosene or burn candles, and those are very dangerous. They cause fires. People die in those fires. They release a lot of really toxic fumes, and so you have people getting sick, and it's just really poor light, and so it's very difficult to do anything. And so by the time the sun sets, then for all of these people, their day just kind of ends, and they're not able to do anything else. And if you can think about, you know, what do we all do after the sun sets? There's so much more you can do in terms of spending time with family and doing, you know, fun things, but also working and being productive. And so it actually is being able to provide light for these families actually solves a lot of their problems. It addresses things like education and work and community and safety and health. And so that's where D-Light started, was can we create a solar-powered light that works really well for these families? Because a lot of them live in areas of the world where sunlight is abundant, and so solar makes a lot of sense. And so they started there, and the key was to make it a really, really high-quality, really excellent product, but also really, really affordable, because these are, again, quite low-income families. And so if they could make the cost of the light comparable to kerosene or candles, then economically it would totally make sense for these families to be able to purchase the product. And then since then, they've moved up to also providing solar-powered mobile phone chargers, because cell phones are huge in many parts of the world where there actually is no, like, grid of, you know, there aren't landlines. People have just jumped right to using cell phones. And so being able to charge those phones is really helpful for them. And then now D-Light actually offers what they call solar home systems, which are these larger solar panels that are enough to charge, you know, several lights, a radio, a flashlight, a phone charger, as well as a television. And so that starts to create this, what we call like a grid-like experience. Like it almost feels like you are connected to the energy grid, even though everything is powered by solar. But that, you know, works really, really well for a lot of families. And so it's really great to be part of this mission. It's super inspiring. It's what keeps us going. And at the same time, I think it has made our personal journey a little bit harder, because we have had this mindset of, we could sacrifice anything for such a noble cause. And while that's understandable, it's also led to a lot of pain and hardship for us, because we didn't recognize that we needed to also take care of ourselves in order to be able to pursue this mission in the long run.
And hence the book, Start, Love, Repeat, How to Stay in Love with Your Entrepreneur in a Crazy Startup World. What a beautiful story. With just, I mean, the light, D-Light. And you've helped like over 80 million?
Yeah, we are just around our 80 millionth customer.
Oh my gosh, that is amazing. Congratulations. And that's got to be more than, I mean, as an entrepreneur, I think people, okay, some people, let me preface it this way. Some people think it's all about the money. They want to retire before they even hit the age 30. They make a million billions of dollars and they don't ever have to work, and they go and hibernate and do whatever they want to do. But your book says differently.
Yes. So we think of entrepreneurs as these 20-something billionaires who've, you know, hit upon a big success and then now they can just retire and do whatever they want for the rest of their lives. And that does happen occasionally, but it's actually extraordinarily rare. And so the vast majority of entrepreneurs go into it because they love it, because that's what they want to do, and that's how they're wired. But the reality is they're not necessarily going to hit it big, and they're not even necessarily going to make that much money. So the reality is that the typical entrepreneur actually makes about 30% less over their career than they would working for somebody else. And that's just what happens when you have to put your own money into the business, when things are less stable and out of your control than getting that regular paycheck every couple of weeks. But that's okay. There are plenty of entrepreneurs that can make a living that way. And I think if you just go into it with that recognition of, I'm not necessarily going to hit it big. I'm not necessarily going to be able to provide for the next four generations of my family. But that's fine. There's so much more that you get out of the experience, especially around personal development and growth and learning and just being able to do something that is your own. I think that, that's invaluable. You can't really put a price on that.
No, you can't. And I mean, look, D-Light is helping people around the world that can't typically afford. They don't have what we have readily available to us here in the United States and in some other countries also around the world. And what a blessing you all are. And I know through that journey, though, and you're still on that journey. It's not like it's ended.
Yes, it's still going on.
It's still going on. And I got a new baby, too, and a new book. So I'm like, I'm still pregnant. That's okay. Just breathe. It'll be all right, Dorcas. You'll get through it all. I promise.
I know. Eventually.
Eventually. But with all of that, I got to ask, how has your spirituality and God played in all of this? Because there's a lot with the entrepreneurial spirit of stepping out kind of in faith, being willing to take action. But there's a twist as a spiritual faith, as in a God belief, and a faith that, oh, I can do it of my own and take control. Thinking about your spirituality and your walk, I mean, you write in your book about therapy and counseling. And when you were in China, you had a massive breakdown. Where did God fit into all of this in your journey and your relationship? I know, a loaded question.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And God has been very much at the center of it. I think we would not have been able to do something like D-Light and to do it for this long, given how hard the journey has been, unless we were absolutely certain that this was what God was calling us to do. And I think in that regard, it has felt like a family calling. I think it also would have been very difficult if only Ned had this sense of clarity and I did not. But because we both believe so strongly in, you know, this is what we're meant to do, at least at this moment in our lives, and that we believe that God cares really, really deeply about people in the world who are vulnerable, who are struggling, who don't have the resources that they need. And we have been so blessed that it's so important to us to do something to give to those folks and to serve them, and something with meaning and purpose. But that said, you know, it has been a far bigger venture than we could do on our own. And there have been miracles along the way. I have to say, like, I'm not one of those people who had, you know, the biggest belief in miracles, but being part of D-Light, it has really shown me that God is in this, and you know, he's testing us and stretching us in extraordinary ways, and he's showing us that he's the one who's making this happen. I don't think we could have gotten to this point of 80 million people reached and still being married and able to have kids and a book and whatever, you know, without God being there. And I think another piece, which I talk about quite a bit in the book, is this question of identity. Because I think entrepreneurs can get really caught up because they love their work so much and are so passionate about it. And I think that's a wonderful thing. But at the same time, there's the risk that you can get so caught up in it that becomes who you are. And it's actually very dangerous to link your whole sense of identity with your business because it is so unpredictable. You know, most 9 out of 10 startups fail. Every entrepreneur experiences failure. And even if your company survives, there's still a lot of failure and rejection along the way. And it's a really, really hard path. And so you can't tie your own sense of personal value and worth and identity to that, or else you're just going to drive yourself crazy or drive yourself into the ground. And so I think one of the healthiest things for entrepreneurs to do is to have a sense of being grounded in who you are outside of the work that you do. I think that's good advice for all of us, regardless of what we do. But I think that will allow you to navigate through the wild ups and downs of the startup journey much better and in a healthier way if you recognize that, hey, you know, I'm an entrepreneur and I'm a business person, but I am also a parent and a spouse and a friend and a leader and a child of God. You know, I think for us, that recognition of, you know, no matter what we do, we are still children of God has just been really reassuring. I think especially when it has felt like that we just didn't know what was going to happen with the business. We didn't know if we were going to be able to make it or if we were going to be able to keep doing it. But to feel like, you know, we are still beloved. We still have a place in God's kingdom. That's been just really, really restoring and assuring for our souls in this long journey that we've been on.
Beautiful. I love the restoration, and there's just something about it. When God's hand is in it, nothing is impossible. And look what you all have created together as a family, meaning, yes, you, and I love that you said it was a family calling.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us try to go when we're married. Okay, I'm talking specifically to we're married and we have attachments to us that we can't get rid of. A dog or a cat we can get rid of, but the children, well, they kind of have to stay.
Right.
So, you know, we have all those tag-alongs with us, and we think we have to go about it alone, but there's something that when we're in our season of life and we still have to care for our husband, our spouse, our wife, our then our children, and they need our attention, that we still think that we can just do anything that we want, but our season may not say that. And for you to call it a family calling, oh, that is just, it's beautiful. And I've never heard it, you know, said that way, such eloquently spoken.
Yeah, thanks. Well, I think we have really needed that perspective because the sacrifices that the business has required of us have had to come from everybody in the family, actually our children included, which as a mom is really painful and it's challenging to try to make those choices for your child. But just last year, we moved to Kenya and our son at the time was only 3 and he celebrated his 4th birthday while we were there. And to make that decision to uproot him from everything he knew, his family, his friends, his home, his culture, and to move him to a brand new place, that was scary. And I actually struggled a lot with anxiety and worry for him. And he actually ended up doing great. I think he did better than I did. And kids are amazingly resilient. Yeah. But it was a cost, you know, and there were some rough moments in those first few weeks that we were in Kenya where I just wasn't sure if I had made the right decision, and I was tempted to just go to the airport and get the next flight back to the US. But at the same time, being able to do it together, being in it together, it's really bonded us as a family. You know, our older son really understands what Ned does, what Delight is all about. When we were in Kenya, we actually had the opportunity to take a trip out to the rural areas together to go meet customers who had bought our products and were using them. And so to give our son the chance to see, like, hey, look, these are other kids that are your age. They have very different lives, but this is why we're doing what we're doing, is to serve them and to try to make things better for them. I think that was just really, really meaningful for all of us.
Priceless, totally.
Absolutely.
You know, and I can't imagine. So when did you all move back then? If you were just over there last year, when did you come back to the U.S.?
Yeah, that was a shorter stint. So we were just in Kenya for 7 months, and then we moved back in November of last year. So we've been back for about a year.
A year, yeah. But still, that's a good part of your life, especially when you have children. They grow up so fast, and they learn, and they pick up. So what an experience for your oldest son.
Yes, we ended up putting him in a preschool where it was all African kids and him. And it was just so wonderful to, you know, he was at the age where he almost wasn't aware of the differences in appearance and culture and language, but it just felt very natural and normal to him. You know, he developed a really strong Kenyan accent while we were living there, which we loved. It was so adorable. And I remember after he had been in school for about 2 weeks, he said to me, "Mommy, all the kids in my class have black hair like me." And I love that because the first thing he zeroed in on was the commonalities that they all had. Mm. And it wasn't until maybe 3 months later that he just remarked very casually, like it was just a matter of fact, you know, that he was stating, "Oh, all the kids in my school have brown skin." But, you know, it didn't bother him. It was just the way it was. And I just loved being able to expose him to that. And I do have to say that these sorts of family adventures are not over yet. We are actually actively in conversation right now about possibly moving back to Kenya as a family, which, you know, now with a young baby is a completely different thing. And I am struggling with fear and anxiety all over again, but it brings me back to that question of, you know, is this what God is calling us to? And if it is, then we need to be all in as a family.
Mm-hmm. Well, talking along those lines of that calling, because I think as Christians, it's easy for us to kind of throw that word out like, oh, I'm called to do this. I've been told in a dream, or, you know, I keep getting this. How would you, from your experience, of course, because everybody's experiences are different, but how do you know that God is saying, yes, that this is the step forward that you need to be taking?
That's a really great question. I used to think that it meant that the road before me would be smooth and easy and hopefully paved with gold if this was what God intended us to do. And I've learned since then that that's not necessarily the case. The path to build up D-Light has been extraordinarily challenging and very, very costly. And there have been moments where I just really wondered if this was what was going to break me or this was what was going to break our family. And yet at the same time, it has been very clear that God has been in it with us, despite all the hardship. And I think for us, you know, my husband definitely has a gift of faith that I do not. And so he is able to walk forward with this certainty. And I trust him. I trust, you know, what he hears from God. And but it's also been confirmed in so many ways. You know, I think we both have a heart for what D-Light is all about. That we, you know, over and over again, when we hear stories of the customers and how their lives have been impacted, that just confirms, you know, yeah, this is why we're doing what we're doing. And we have had so many people come around us and pray for us and speak into our lives. And as well as God himself moving in really, really powerful ways. And so I think it's just this constant back and forth dialogue with God of, you know, so, cause I think there's also the piece of, you know, so we had that calling 10 years ago and is it still our calling now? Cause I don't think that callings are static, that it can absolutely change for people. Mm-hmm. And so I think we're just constantly asking God, asking the people around us that we really trust, you know, does this continue to make sense for us? Is this where you want us to go? Is this what you want us to do? And over again, he just keeps saying yes, 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 in many different ways through things that he has done to intervene, through words that we've heard from other people, through scripture, through teaching. And so until he says otherwise, basically, we're pretty certain that this is what we're meant to do.
Oh, wow. Well, how can we specifically be praying for you? We've got prayer warriors around the globe. What would you like for us to be praying for specifically for your family and D-Light?
Yeah, thank you for asking that. You know, obviously you can continue to pray that D-Light will reach more and more families. You know, 80 million people is wonderful, but it's only a drop in the bucket when you think about 2.5 billion people who are in need of reliable electricity. And yet a lot of the countries that we're working in are difficult countries to be in terms of there's a lot of instability, there can be conflict, there are refugees, there's political stuff going on, there's, you know, economically it's really challenging, corruption can be a big challenge. So I think just to pray for protection for the business in all of that we're able to reach the families that really need to be reached regardless of all of these other challenges that we're trying to work through. And I think just for faithfulness and for courage, it is definitely not a path for the faint of heart. And I feel like I am the faint of heart, and yet God just keeps pushing me forward and keeps challenging me to keep going at it and to fully lean on him. And we would love prayer for this decision that we're trying to make about moving our family to Kenya. It's a big one, especially with two young children. And I think, you know, for our future in terms of how much longer should we be doing this, when does it make sense to move on to something else, we would love to get some clarity around that. I think my husband's more okay with the uncertainty. But yeah, it, you know, whenever God's ready to let us know, I will be very happy to hear that.
Okay. And that one should be a lightning strike so you know that it's a definite, we're closing the doors.
That would be super helpful. Well, the hope would be not that we are closing the doors, but
well,
just that, you
but
know.
But you're moving to another venture.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we will definitely be praying for you and your adventure and your work, because this is God's work. And you can definitely tell by your heart, Dorcas, it shines through. And it's not just about a book that you birthed and about your experiences, but it's what God has done and has worked through you, in you, to serve others around the globe. And how powerful. And I think, if nothing else, you are a light of inspiration to so many other people out there saying, I want to make a difference. But will I really be able to make a difference? What would you tell that person?
I think that Ned and I feel extraordinarily fortunate and blessed to be part of something that has a fairly large and wide reach. But what I have learned, especially as a writer, is that it doesn't have to be that big to make a difference. You know, I've written articles that have come out and maybe 10 people have read them. And yet, in God's eyes, that's perfectly wonderful. You know, 10 people who read something, or 10 people who are served or impacted by something you do, that's 10 people who God loves and treasures. And so I would say, don't disregard what it is that you are already doing, or that maybe you have a dream of something that you want to do. It may be big, it may not be, and yet that's okay. You know, it doesn't really matter in the kingdom of God, because every little thing that we do can be meaningful. But I think also, you know, to pursue what you're passionate about, to pursue the concerns and cares that God has placed on your heart, I think you almost can't go wrong whenever you do that. And I want to add also that not only is the work of D-Light really meaningful, but I would say that this journey has been extraordinary for our marriage and for us as individuals, that Ned and I have a much deeper level of trust and just maturity in our relationship that I don't think we would have had otherwise. And there is a lot, as hard as it has been, I've talked a lot about how hard it's been, there's so much that we've gotten out of it in terms of how much we've learned about ourselves and about the world and about one another. And so that's a big part also of why I just really wanted to write this book, is I wanted to give couples hope, you know, and to help them recognize, hey, it may be really, really hard, but there is some really good redemptive work that God is doing in this. There is something really wonderful and beautiful that can come out of it if you just commit to one another that you're going to stick in this, you're going to keep going, you're going to keep trying, and what you are able to get out of it is going to be totally worth it.
Applause. And you will want to pick up your own copy of Start, Love, Repeat: How to Stay in Love with Your Entrepreneur in a Crazy Startup World. I got to go back and reread some of the stuff again too. It is chock full of goodness. And you know, Dorcas, you're just a breath of just a fresh breath. You know how you go out and it's winter now, and for
yes,
some of us, we're experiencing winter. Some areas are in the summertime,
but
exactly. But for us, it's winter right now, and I'm up north, so you know it's really winter now. We got a little flurries happening today, but there's something about you that you just shine so bright, and you go outside and you have that fresh fallen snow and the crisp, clean air that is just like, and you brought that not only today in your stories and what you've told us, but you also brought it in the book. And I believe when people pick this up, they will find the hope that's needed, that nothing is impossible, that they can reach for their dreams. And it all begins with Start, Love, Repeat.
Thank you so much.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Okay, now people are going to want to connect with you, Dorcas. So tell us how they can find you.
Probably easiest way to find me is my website, which is www.changtozen.com. I'm also on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn. So those are great places to find me as well. I'm pretty sure I'm the only Dorcas Changtozen in the world. So just search for me and I will pop right up.
You will pop right up. That I will take.
Right.
Even I found her website. So no, yes, it's a great website. You'll want to grab it. And the book is now hot off the press. So, you know, pick up a couple, keep one for yourself, give some as stocking stuffers. Be the elf, because, you know, I think a lot of us have big dreams. And those dreams, in my opinion, truly are, they're God-given. And if you keep having this urge and this, you know, this tug on your heart saying, you're supposed to be doing something. Now, some of us are in the season of, we got to hold back. You know, yes, and that's okay so. Too, right? And you know, we got to hold back. So. But sometimes we need to take action. And regardless, by just starting with this book, you can begin to open up the conversation with the mind, connecting to the heart, and you can share it with your spouse.
Yes, I totally agree.
All right. Well, I have one last question for you. This series is called My Strength is My Story. What has your story gifted you?
My story has gifted me with so much learning about my own limitations. And that sounds like not necessarily a good thing, but for me, it's actually been really wonderful in the sense of, you know, I really struggled with perfectionism, with people pleasing for many, many years. It's still in me. I still struggle with it. But that led me to a path of overworking myself and burnout. And also just never really fully accepting myself. And it's sort of ironic in that, you know, now that I can see my own limitations and my weaknesses much more clearly, and I accept them, it's made it easier to just be okay with who I am. And I think that there is a freedom that comes from that. It actually frees us up to ask for help from other people. It frees us up to truly trust in God and lean on Him, and to do things, to take more risks, I think, because I'm more okay with things not turning out well, or at least not the way I would have wanted them to. But it's, yeah, it's this funny thing where I think the more you press into the things about yourself that need to be better, or that you wish were better, the more you have courage to just take those bold steps and to step out in faith.
All right. I got to give an amen to that. I love it. Oh, Dorcas, I just want to hug you right now. You have just...
Wish we could.
You're just a little gem. Okay, well, I'll send my, you know, my energy across the way. Only if I had some solar power to work with.
Yes, that would help.
That would help a little bit, yeah. But, you know, our solar power, I think... also, which is illuminated in your business, but is truly from God. And it's something that He can take complete blackness and darkness and shine light and make anything scary and fearful, anything that's anxious, and, you know, and just light it all up and say, you know what? Have no fear because God is near.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for your time. You've been a blessing. You're going to have to come back. And if you go to Kenya... I mean, come on, we got to share stories.
Oh, absolutely. We could do this from Kenya. I would love to do that.
It would be awesome. Well, many blessings. We will be praying for you. We will have all the links, of course, in the show notes where you can connect with Dorcas and also how to pick up her book. Merry Christmas and many blessings to you, my sweet sister.
Thank you so much. Merry Christmas to you as well. It's been such a pleasure talking with you.
Feeling inspired, ready to train for life and love your journey? Visit createyournow.com for more incredible resources to help you along the way. We'll see you next time on Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. And remember, always be sure you consult your physician before beginning any health and fitness plan.